Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Mr. Masecha Shaburi, who is the Commission's Deputy Chief Electoral Officer at the IEC, at the Independent Electoral Commission. A very, very good morning, and thanks for chatting to us so early on this very cold Thursday morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard.
It's not like you didn't have a complicated job anyway. It's not like the IEC had things very, very easy before a global pandemic. Before a pandemic, now you're trying to organize and manage an election during a pandemic, trying to make sure that people actually do get out there and register and vote, but also that they keep safe. Where does the IEC fit into all of these nuances and angles?
Indeed, the pandemic has made an already difficult job that much harder. From our perspective, we take instructions from the Constitution, which says two key things, and the two things are not binary or either or. Mm-hmm. It says we must deliver elections regularly, and to that end, it determines the outer limit for which a term of a municipal council can subsist. It also does not make any provision for an extension of that term, be it because of a pandemic or any other reason. In the same constitution, it also says those elections that we hold regularly must be free and fair. So from a perspective of holding elections on a regular basis, the Electoral Commission can confirm that it is on track with this arrangement to deliver an election if it is confirmed for the 27th of October. We are also on track to deliver a voter registration weekend over the weekend of the 17th and the 18th of July. Because the COVID-19 situation has introduced a novel set of circumstances which have changed the environment, the Commission has then approached the former Deputy Chief Justice, Dikgang Moseneke, to receive submissions from political parties, from experts, from interested persons, including from the Electoral Commission, to assess those dispassionately and objectively and advise the Commission if conditions exist that will make these elections to meet the constitutional standard, i.e. of freeness and fairness. So the report may prescribe a set of additional measures that we must take, and the Commission will assess those and determine if, in those circumstances, it will be able to deliver free and fair election. However, on our part, we assist with the preparations for the election because preparations begin about 24 months before the election.
Mm. I'm assuming that there are lessons to be learned from other countries that have gone through an election process during a pandemic.
Indeed, there are. There are countries that their election in the midst of the pandemic when very less was known about it. You can count Korea, there are jurisdiction again on the continent like Malawi that held, Namibia that held their elections during COVID. We have assimilated lessons, and in consultation with political parties, the Commission had last year approved a protocol that ensures that we maintain the safety of voters, elections officials and political parties during electoral event. And we have piloted those measures since November last year in at least 150 by-elections that we've held since then. Our view is that those measures have held up quite well. The challenge for us now is to replicate those in a bigger election of 23,000 voting stations on a single day across the country. It is a tough task, but we do not think it is insurmountable.
The success of an election isn't just about the fact that people are free to vote, but that actually we get them to vote. So part of, I imagine, the IEC mandate, and I assume it because of what I'm reading and the campaigns that the IEC gets involved with, is to encourage people to get out there to register, especially young people, because we do have this danger of complacency, and especially being, I guess, a young democracy, we have to instill this value of voting and saying, putting your mind to the future of your country, into the minds of young people. That, of course, is a bigger challenge at the moment as well.
Indeed, you are correct, Howard. Voter turnout is a key indicator of the health of a democracy. That's why in our campaign that we launched yesterday, we are calling on all South Africans to remain connected, to remain engaged with affairs of their community. We are also making a special plea to younger voters, younger persons, to come out in their numbers to register and to participate and actively choose men and women who will represent who will arrange their public affairs, especially young persons, because they have not had as many opportunities as older people to register as voters. But also we know from our research that we can't ascribe their non-participation to apathy, because from our research, young persons have told us, and we have also seen that when they are registered, they are more likely to vote than any age cohort. So before we can ascribe terms to them, we must make everything possible to remove whatever administrative burden, if there are any, to their enrollment on the voter form.
I read recently that there's been a substantial cut in the IEC budget, which I thought was a real concern, given the importance of, I mean, I think this is part of the backbone of any democracy. How are you managing with a reduced budget?
Indeed, the IEC has had to endure cuts to its budget over a number of years. And we understand those, because the reality is that the national fiscal is constrained. It's like all state departments we have had to make do with very little. We have reprioritized our programs to make sure that even with the reduced allocations, we can still deliver an election that meet the constitutional standard. The key thing that we've had to make to fall in line with our allocated resources was to jettison what we have always traditionally had, i.e. two registration events ahead of an election. This election, we are unfortunately only funded for one registration event, which will be in July. We have had to look at other ways of reducing the number of staff, or the reducing the number of the duration of contracts that we offer to our staff. We've had to stop all increases as it relates to stipends or improvements in stipends that we offer the extra staff, so that we fell within the allocation that Treasury has approved. I must say that we are still engaged in liaison with National Treasury to see that from savings elsewhere in the state, they will be able to top up our allocation. To be fair to Treasury, they are doing their best in a very difficult circumstance. So we'll know later this year whether some of our requests were able to be funded by National Treasury.
One of our listeners has said, please can you ask, how does one find out where to register? I'm now living in the Northwest Province. I assume I have to re-register. How does one go about finding out how to do that?
The person has access to an internet. They can go to www.elections.org.za. I presume that from their question, I presume that they were registered elsewhere.
I would assume,
before they moved to Northwest.
Right.
If that is the case, they just go into our website, they look on an icon called Click Check Confirm, they click on that icon, they create a profile, and they will be able to update their address details because they are registered. They don't need to go to a voting station. They can do that transaction in the convenience of their home or office.
That makes a huge difference.
That makes a huge difference.
Because again, it just means it's one less barrier. If you can sit at home and do that, then it makes sure as well that there's one less barrier to getting people out to vote. So, and so absolutely critical that we keep repeating this message, how important it is. Mr. Masego Shiburi, who's a Commission Deputy Chief Electoral Officer at the Independent Electoral Commission, IEC, thanks for chatting to us this morning. Keep doing the amazing and really absolutely critical work that the IEC is doing and encouraging people to get out there and to vote.